have police photographing our license plates.
What are we doing for veterans returning home damaged physically and mentally, suffering from depression, homelessness, and suicide?
Why did the Supreme Court deposit corporate money into our electoral process?
Should we redefine middle class as working poor? Or is it just another Wall Street merger?
What's really behind new voter picture ID laws in certain states?
Why aren't NBC, ABC, CBS, and Fox asking these questions?
Welcome to the Reasonable Voice Blog Talk Radio. I'm Marcello Rolando. The mission of the Reasonable Voice is to connect the dots between politics and finance, the need for better and more affordable education, our humanity, world peace, and of course, the arts, which we then gladly provide our listeners, the voting public, as informative food for thought to provoke their self-determination and appetite for equal opportunity. The Reasonable Voices are advocates prioritizing education, preserving our history, leading by example for a peaceful and prosperous world by evoking and embracing the creative artist and political unity as solutions to our challenges. Welcome to the Reasonable Voice Blog Talk Radio. My guest today, I'm very pleased to introduce, is Dr. Charlotte Yeh. She is the Chief Medical Officer of AARP Services, and she is a hearing expert, as opposed to, I say, a hearing loss expert. But of course, what she's all about is preventing hearing loss and trying to help people to come forward so she can do that. Good morning. How are you, Dr. Yeh?
Good morning. It's wonderful to be here, and thank you for inviting me.
It's my pleasure. I know we've talked before, but you say hearing loss is on the increase. Why is that?
So it's so surprising to me that hearing loss is so prevalent, you know, across all generations, across all people, and yet it seems to be, pardon the pun, such a silent epidemic. In fact, there are 48 million Americans who have some sort of hearing loss, and if you're a baby boomer, one out of six of you have some form of hearing impairment, and it grows 10% with every decade of life, so that by the time you're really entering the prime of your life in your 70s, two out of three have some form of hearing impairment.
Well, why is it increasing? Are we doing something we didn't used to do?
You know, one of the most common causes for hearing loss that actually is preventable is exposure to loud noises. Mm. So if you think of our generation now, you have the baby boomers who started with the rock and roll concerts and the huge sounds. I mean, you know, rock and rollers like Peter Townsend actually lost their hearing because of the exposure to loud music over extended periods.
Yeah.
And now these days, you know, with iPods and MP3 players, everyone's got little earbuds in their ear. They think it's really cool to turn it up loud. Well, anything over 85 decibels can damage your hearing. And in fact, anything over that for only 15 minutes can already cause hearing loss. And yet, if you turn up your iPod MP3 with your earbuds, you can exceed that, you know, up to 100 decibels or more. And it's not just that. Think of, you know, sports games and sports stadium. You know, I was just at a hockey game where the goal was how loud could the crowd scream? You know, and if you can get that up at high decibels over repeated use and repeated exposure for extended periods, you actually can cause hearing loss that cannot be reversed.
That's so, it's depressing, but it's also educational, because now that my wife insists I swim for my health and so forth, I do carry a MP3 player, and I turn it up loud enough so I don't hear the music at the pool. But when you plug in your MP3 player at the pool or the gym or on a walk, how do you know it's too loud?
Well, if somebody outside can hear your, you know, your earbuds, you know, just standing next to you, then it's clearly too loud. You can get apps to check, you know, the decibel readings, and if you keep it below 85, you should be fine. What I like to say is, it's not that you can't enjoy this; it's just to be smart and sensible. And
sure,
if you're going to a rock and roll concert, or you're going to a sports stadium, or you're going to an airport or see an air show with all the loud noises, you know, bring earplugs. it won't decrease your ability to hear and enjoy yourself, but it also protects your ears.
Of course, earplugs. I hadn't thought of that. Yes, they would just filter just the right amount, probably, so you can hear but not lose your hearing.
Exactly. I mean, even hair dryers, believe it or not, can run at 90 decibels over the limit that can cause problems with your hearing. So it's all around us.
So how long can you dry your hair with your hair dryer?
You want to do it in less than 15-minute bursts.
Oh, okay. Then I'm okay. You know, we've heard lately, especially in university towns, we hear a lot about noise pollution. But noise pollution is not just football games and stadiums and even rock concerts. Where are some of the noise pollution examples that we might not think of right away?
Well, you know, there's always new construction going around.
Yes.
You know, you might be renovating in your house, drills, you know, and, you know, maybe you're part of this old house.
Yes.
And all the drills pounding are all, you know, bursts of loud sounds.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you, you know, go where there are jet boats or jet skis, you know, those can also be very loud. Airport. With big, you know, the loud plane noises. You see the airport workers, you know, wearing the big headphones to protect your... So it's everywhere. So it just means, you know, again, it doesn't mean you have to be a hermit.
Yes.
It doesn't mean you can't go outside. It just means to be smart.
Well, you know, and I'm glad you point that out, because that was why I asked the question. There are a lot of things going on around us we don't really think about, and this conversation with you makes us think about it. And once you're aware, you can take precautions. I love the earbuds idea. I never thought of that. Usually, the only thing I put into my ears are you know, the MP3 player, which I now have to turn down. You say hearing loss is affecting people over 50. I think I don't find that surprising, but it's also affecting school-age kids. What's happening?
Absolutely. We're finding the general rule of thumb is hearing loss increases 10% with every decade of life. So even the 1 to 10-year-olds, there's about 1 in 10 with some sort of hearing impairment.
Wow.
You know, from 10 to 20,
sure.
It could be 20%. So it increases with every decade of life. Part of it is the exposure to the sounds. Part of it is, you know, in the younger age group, think about ear infections and make sure they're identified and treated soon enough before damage occurs. And then, you know, there are other common causes that, you know, are quite reversible, and especially as we age, you can get a lot of wax in the ear, and it can plug up your ear. So if you're noticing some change in your hearing, it's always worth getting a checkup. Make sure it's not something easily resolvable, like wax in your ear, or something treatable like infection. And if it is because of the noise exposure and starting to damage the nerve of hearing in your ears, or the very, very sensitive cells that pick up the hearing sounds and vibration, if that happens, the most important thing is we can't reverse it, but we can protect what you do have.
I see. And there are other, besides noise pollution, there are other certain illnesses like mumps can cause a hearing loss too, yes?
Right. So there are certain, again, like mumps. Being overweight, diabetes, there's a higher association of hearing loss. So if you are physically fit and active, you can protect your hearing. Even walking 2 hours a week has been known to protect your hearing, because it increases the blood flow, we think, to the ears.
So if it's increasing the blood flow to the ear, is it also increasing the blood flow to the brain? And what's the connection, if any, between hearing and brain function or brain health?
Absolutely. So it's interesting, you know, we think about, you know, hearing loss, it's not a big deal. I can, you know, if I lose it, you know, it's no big deal. It actually turns out it is a big deal, because there's an association of hearing loss with earlier dementia.
Uh-huh.
More often falls, earlier mortality. And the reason is those sounds coming in through your ears stimulate the brain. It keeps you active, keeps you engaged with people around you, being part of conversations. It allows you to learn more. And when you start to lose your hearing, there's less impulse and stimulation to your brain. So your brain cells start, you know, not acting as well. We lose 85,000 brain cells a day.
Wow.
And what you want to do is keep as many of those functioning as you can. And hearing is a great part of that.
So it's like everything, you know, I often have guests who are mental health professionals and involved in Alzheimer's Association, etc. And I hear similar things, that parallel statements. It sounds like with everything they say, you have to stimulate the brain to keep it healthy. And you're making an excellent point that I hadn't thought of. Sound is part of what stimulates thought and brain.
Absolutely. It's a sensory input, and you know, the thousands of sounds and the variation of sound that comes in. And when you hear, learning to distinguish the words, distinguishing tones in music, those are all part of keeping your brain active and can help, hopefully, delay any potential onset of dementia or decline.
That brings up another point, which I discovered with my parents, who both suffered from dementia. But one thing I could always do to get them back, at least temporarily, is that I bought CDs with music that they grew up with, you know, and CDs even of old radio talk shows. And when I would put them on, they would sing along with the music or laugh at Jack Benny and, you know, who was Costello? I can't even think of it. Lou Costello, and I can't think of his partner's name now.
Abbott Costello.
That's right. But my parents, of course, had grown up with that music, and Bing Crosby and Abbott and Costello and the comedians of their ilk, their era, I mean, and they always responded to that, even when they were in the depths of dementia. Talk to us about that from the hearing standpoint.
Well, I oftentimes like to tell the story of my father.
Yes.
Who is in his mid-80s. And probably for the last 10 or 15 years, you could begin to tell he was having difficulty hearing. You know, he is a very gregarious, you know, loves to tell stories. Children love to be around. He loves to play with children and the family.
Yes.
And over the last 10 or 15 years, he started to sit a little more alone at parties. You would come and talk to him, and you could tell he couldn't quite understand anything. And we kept saying, gee, you know, Dad, let's get your hearing tested. Maybe you need a hearing aid. But because hearing loss is so insidious and so gradual, you don't even appreciate, you know, your loss of hearing until others start talking to you. So, and then when I saw him a couple of years ago, I noticed that he was walking with kind of a shuffling gait, and he was sort of bent over, and he was walking very slowly, and he frankly looked really frail, and, you know, he wasn't engaging and talking to family members, telling jokes like he usually did. And we finally convinced him, saying, Dad, it's time. Get your hearing checked. You know, this has gone on way too long. So he did. He got a set of hearing aids. Well, last year, we had a big family reunion. And here I am thinking, you know, my poor dad, he's so frail, I hope he'll be okay. I walk into the breakfast room, and there is my dad with his new hearing aids, sitting at the breakfast table, regaling everyone around the table with stories and, you know, for growing up and jokes he's played on everybody else, and the whole crowd is laughing. And, you know, my mother is going, oh, my God, he won't stop talking. And he gets up, and he walks around with a stride. He's standing straight up. He's walking with purpose. And it was all because he could now hear. He could partake in the family reunion. And he was the dad I remember.
That's such a wonderful story. And I have a similar situation with my dad. What I missed most was his sense of humor and how the jokes he would tell. And he was always the center of attention at family gatherings. So I know what you mean about being able to see that come back. It's that had to have been so thrilling for you. I mean, wow.
It was. And, and you know, but we kept saying, you know, you could have done this 10 years ago.
Yes. And you know, and that brings us to the point, why would people not, I mean, the other day, it turned out it was one of the speakers in the television, but I thought for a while, something's going on. I'm not hearing the full range of sound. And I mentioned it to my wife right away, although I must admit, I didn't go to a doctor. I got a new TV, but I do hear. I can't hear. But tell me, why wouldn't someone go to the doctor about a hearing loss or not being able to hear as well? As you say, sometimes it's just wax in your ears.
Right. I think part of it is it's so gradual that you don't realize you're losing the hearing over time. So sometimes it takes other signs to identify that, gee, maybe I should have my hearing checked, you know, if maybe you're asking people to repeat things more often, or others are saying, gee, your TV's turned up really loud, or maybe you're in a noisy restaurant and you can't seem to hear the people across the table from you. You know, all of those are signs that you might be having, you know, gradual loss of hearing. If two people talk to you at once and you can't hear, you know, that could be another sign. So part of it is, I think, an awareness and not realizing how much you've lost over time. I think the second, which is really, to me, a crazy reason, is, you know, people think, oh, it's just a sign of aging, that's just a normal part of aging, and it's really not. Mm. In fact, people who have excellent hearing in their 70s all say, you know, I feel younger than my age. You know, there's, you know, it is not an absolute that you will lose hearing just because you get older. And I think the third reason is a sense of stigma, or, you know, I'm getting old, I must look old, and so I don't want to have hearing aids. But these days, the hearing devices can be very, very discreet. You don't have to see them. Mm. I sort of feel like, gee, if I'm going to have a hearing aid, we'll just make it glitzy and show up.
Yes, that's right. A little sparkle.
You know, it's like fancy eyeglasses. You know, this
sure.
should be a celebration, because it's not what you, you know, it's not about hearing loss. It's really about what you gain when you can hear. You're enjoying company. You're enjoying
yes.
people. You can go to the movies. Why should you withhold that from yourself?
And from others, by the way, as in the example of your father. I mean, everyone at the party, except maybe your mother thought he was talking too much, but everyone at the party, I'm sure, were entertained and happy to have him be a part of the event again.
Absolutely. And, you know, and my mother was, you know, laughing as she was saying,
yes.
oh, because she missed that. She missed
yes.
hearing him be part of the party.
Well, I can understand that. I missed my mother was a backseat driver of the absolute greatest degree, and she could drive me crazy. But as the dementia took over, I missed that voice telling me how to drive. And one day, for some reason, I decided to call in the family and let's all get together and have a wonderful time. And I explained to them that, you know, they may not be able to recognize or respond much longer, so do come. And people came from all over the country, relatives, some I even didn't know. And it must have stimulated Mom's memory, because she was a backseat driver for the rest of the day. When I took her out for a drive, she would tell me, watch out for that car, whatever. And it was so wonderful. So it's a beautiful thing.
It just shows you how important stimulation of the brain to keep you active, to keep you engaged. And all these people coming and telling stories, she could hear them.
Yes. Music, art, yes, all of this. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're talking to Dr. Charlotte Yeh, who is the Chief Medical Officer of AARP Services. We're going to explain the difference between that and AARP. Also, let's talk about foods for the brain and for hearing, and we're not alone in sharing and needing to protect the hearing that we have. So stay with us. We'll be right back with Dr. Yeh. I love that name.
And now, another film rental discovery.
Welcome to the Indie Film Minute.
If you run, the beast catches. If you stay, the beast eats. In the City of God, the young learn fast that survival requires both brutality and wit. In the favela, the notorious shanty slum only yards from the tourist beaches of Rio de Janeiro, death comes easily and pointlessly. Societal control is up to the current criminal gang leaders in power, barely beyond childhood themselves. The film is based on an essentially autobiographical novel by Paolo Linz. Rocket, the narrator and moral center of the film, takes a picture of a gang leader that finds its way into a real newspaper. Rocket hides, terrified he will be killed. Instead, the psychopathic gang leader, a child himself, actually enjoys the notoriety. There is a scene in City of God that is remarkably haunting. An older gang member instructs a young recruit to shoot a toddler to prove himself worthy. Faced with a quaking gun, the toddler understands the danger and shrieks in real fear. A child in diapers, barely old enough to walk, cannot act. This is brutal reality captured on film, inexcusable perhaps, but a sound metaphor for these lives so vividly depicted. Indie Film Minute, not in theaters. Discovery through rental.
Welcome back to my conversation with Chief Medical Officer of the AARP Services, Dr. Charlotte Yeh. Dr. Charlotte, first of all, what's the difference between AARP Services and the AARP? I guess we should tell people what AARP stands for, although most of us know that. But
right. So AARP is a wonderful advocacy organization that represents the population, all the people who are 50 years and older.
Mm-hmm.
And these days, we are living longer and better than ever.
Yes.
And it, you know, it no longer means that you age and you go up and you retire and then you fall off the curve.
Yes.
These days, we're constantly reinventing ourselves, learning, moving into new careers, new excitement, new stages of life. So it's all about, possibilities as we get older. And I have to say, since I've joined and started working for AARP, I've learned how delightful it is to get older.
Yes.
it's been wonderful. You know, our happiness index actually is at your lowest, before your 50s. And after your 50s, your happiness index continues to climb, even past when you were growing up. So we have lots to look forward to.
Yes, it's true. It's true.
AARP Services is a subsidiary of AARP, and this is the arm of AARP that has all the AARP branded products and services, from insurance to travel discounts to restaurant, Dunkin' Donuts, flowers and groceries, to healthcare plans, vision, eyewear discounts, dental insurance, to hearing aid discounts, and that's AARP Services. So my position is, overseeing, a lot of the health-related AARP products and services.
Excellent. That's quite a contribution to all those over 50, and even, as you say, some school-age kids as well who are meeting such challenges. As I always say, if you're lucky, the older you get, the smarter you get, and with that comes happiness as well, because you become more aware of how important it is, knowledge is, and being curious. But we shouldn't believe that getting older means getting less than all you can be, because I've had many doctors tell me, no, that those are myths. If you take care of the physical body, it takes care of the brain and hearing, and sex life doesn't stop at the, at 50 or anything. That's all old wives' tales. And I believe it, because now I'm over 50 and I can tell. For a bit now, I know people sometimes, especially with hearing loss, you must feel invisible, as I think you've said, and perhaps alone, because people don't understand, or you don't want them to know that you can't hold up your end of the conversation or whatever, for whatever reason. But there are some household names who also suffer with some degree of hearing loss, like Rob Lowe and former President Bill Clinton, I know, Halle Berry. And
yep.
Halle Berry's cause sadly not unusual, but a terrible thing. It wasn't a disease, but domestic violence, yes?
Right, Right. I mean, trauma, you know, can cause damage to the ears. You know, many of our servicemen overseas have, you know, had hearing loss as a result of trauma or loud sounds or blows.
Yes.
But, you know, people like Jodie Foster, Colbert, Rush Limbaugh, I mean, Peter Townsend of The Who.
Yes.
This is much more common than we are led to believe. And so, you know, this is something we should really, you know, for those of us that do hear, reach out to those that aren't, and those who don't hear well, you know, you're not alone. There's so many people just like you.
You know, this reminds me of something I hadn't thought of in years, and I'll share a quick story if you don't mind. Madeline Sherwood, I don't know if she's still with us or not. I haven't talked to her literally in a decade, but Madeline Sherwood was the mother of the no-neck monsters in the film Tennessee Williams' Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, starring Elizabeth Taylor, Burl Ives, and Paul Newman. Well, if you remember the nagging sister-in-law of the old wife of the older brother, that was Madeline Sherwood. And I met her when she was in her 70s on a cruise on the QE2, and I remember her asking me to walk on one particular side of her because she had lost her hearing, and I wish I had known you then. That's all I can say. But you know, people do. How do people compensate? Now, and Madeline's stand on the other side of me, and I think, oh yes, I know someone now, and I know she's still around, so I won't mention her name. But she is also deaf in one ear and has told me that, but I don't think she makes it as public. But how do people like Robert Redford? How do you on the set of a movie? You talk about a noisy restaurant. How do you on a movie set and when you have to respond to people in a movie or conversation or classroom, how do they deal?
So what we can do, you know, if we're talking to someone who we know has a little bit of hearing impairment,
yes,
or a lot of hearing impairment, there are things we can do to make it much easier for them to understand and to have a rich conversation. So the first is make sure that you're in eye contact. They can see your face so they can watch your facial expressions, you know, see your lips. You know, if you're going to be, you know, in a crowd, make sure only one person speaks at a time.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in a room where the TV's on, the radio's on, you might want to turn it down, turn the dishwasher off, or go to a quieter room,
mm-hmm,
so you can have the conversation without distraction of other sounds. Something that's really interesting, we all think, oh, if someone can't hear, we'll just say the same thing and shout louder.
Yes.
Interestingly enough, that actually makes it worse, because
yes,
when you shout louder, it starts to distort the sounds. And when people have hearing loss, they just don't lose everything. They usually lose certain kinds of frequencies or higher frequencies.
Uh-huh.
So if you shout, it makes it harder. So what you want to do is speak more deliberately, and hopefully they can hear the distinct sounds and the consonants. And if that still doesn't work, sometimes using a different word. For example, maybe they can't hear D's and G's. So when you say dog, they can't understand.
Uh-huh.
But if you say puppy, oh, they know what you're talking about.
Wow.
So these are just some simple little tips. You know, sitting at a round table where you can see everyone's faces when you're in a group setting.
Sure.
Having the person with difficulty hearing maybe with their back to a wall so that there's not background noises distracting them from paying attention. But probably the most important thing is you can say, gee, it's so easy to get your hearing tested.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
What's surprising to me is, you know, only about 41-43% of people get their hearing tested. And gee, you know, over 70% know enough to get a flu shot. And, you know, 58-60% know to get colonoscopies to prevent, you know, and screen for cancer. Well, why shouldn't we be doing something that is even more important for everyday living, your hearing?
Yes. And I guess we all need to think about everything you've said. It all goes for relatives that we need to talk to at some point. If you need to talk to a relative about no longer driving or whatever it might be,
It's just as important as, I think, your point that we need to talk to them about hearing, checking their eyes and being sensitive to, I think I've told you this story once before in another conversation, that my father is suffering from dementia. When people would come over, his younger brother in particular, would shout at him as though yelling would cure his dementia. I would say, he has dementia, he can hear just fine. So it is true, relatives and friends, we have to be sensitive and respond in all these ways. But I wanted to ask you, I think you've mentioned before, there are certain foods that help. And I think your line, I don't want to misquote you, and you of course can tell me, but it was something like, if you eat the right foods for you physically, you are eating the right foods for your mental health and your hearing health. It's something like that. You said it much better than I, but...
So absolutely, we oftentimes, we worry about dementia and our brains aging, but it turns out that, all our body parts are all connected. So if we are good to our bodies and our brains, it will also be good for our hearing, our interaction with others. So, if you think about your brain, you want to keep it stimulated. That's why you want your hearing to be good.
Yes.
You want to keep physically fit. We talked about how important walking is because it gets your blood flowing. Well, the blood flows to your brain, flows to your ears, so it keeps them healthier and protects your brain and protects your hearing. We talk about being socially engaged, being with family and friends and being connected. Human beings are very social animals.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can hear, you stay socially connected. Stress, mentioned, if we can reduce stress, it keeps the brain from being overstimulated and overtired, and that also will help your hearing and your physical fitness. And then finally, eating well.
Yes.
I know we've talked a lot about eating well, but, if you have the omega-3s, the antioxidants, blueberries and fruits and broccolis and, even kale.
Yes, and asparagus.
Asparagus. Fish, all of these, having the right nutrition, increases your brain function, your physical function, your hearing. And hopefully reduces the chance of obesity or overweight and diabetes, which we know also can reduce hearing or is associated with loss of hearing too.
Yes, and one thing I don't think we've touched today, but you have mentioned in the past, the loss of hearing can lead to depression.
Right.
Yeah.
Because what happens is when you stop, having difficulty hearing, you stop associating with people, then you start feeling lonely, then you start feeling isolated, and that just can lead to depression. Mm-hmm. In fact, we recently in ARP Services with United had done a survey of Medicare beneficiaries, people who had Medicare coverage, and it turns out that loss of hearing has a greater impact on your quality of life than things we always talk about: diabetes, heart disease, high blood pressure, high cholesterol. In fact, hearing loss is far more significant to your quality of life.
Mm.
So if that's not a reason to protect our hearing,
Exactly. It's just, we just take so much for granted. And when someone like you starts to educate us and make us aware, I know it's working on me because I go, gee, of course, this all makes sense. It's all interconnected. And can you tell us about the Mediterranean diet? We are what we eat. A lot of the things I've heard are really things that could easily be infused or increased in one's diet. I mean, cranberries, oats, almonds, asparagus, walnuts.
Nuts are really, if you don't have an allergy, nuts are great, especially as a snack,
And is it true what they say about blueberries?
Blueberries,
yes.
Olive oil, so it doesn't mean you can't enjoy food.
Yes.
And you can't enjoy the tastes and the textures, but it does mean, to be smart, like anything, about what you do and what you eat.
Sure. And I love eggs and shrimp and spinach. They all seem to be on the list. Bananas, dark chocolate.
Yep, dark chocolate. A glass, I don't know if I should say this, but a glass of red wine.
Yes. We don't have to give up at 50 and go, oh, well, it's all downhill from here. It's not at all that at all. It really isn't.
Absolutely not. know, I mean, there are people who are still skiing and rock climbing into their 80s. There's no reason, you know, it can't happen that all of us can't enjoy what we love to do. But it does mean that you don't have to accept hearing loss. You can protect what you have. And what's interesting is there's the technology, just as we see it in the electronics in our house, the technology for addressing hearing loss is improving all the time. It may not be perfect, but it is. They are learning to adjust hearing aids to the right kind of hearing loss, adjust hearing aids to the different settings that you're in. So it does make sense. You get your hearing tested. It should be part of your annual physical and annual preventive services. And if there is evidence, the audiologists these days really do understand a lot of the technology that's out there, and there are a lot of assistive devices that are in the market these days.
Now tell me, some medications, over-the-counter medications even, surprisingly, ibuprofen, aspirin, they have a negative effect or can have on hearing?
Right, so, you know, drugs like aspirin, and you mentioned ibuprofen, what we call anti-inflammatories, they can affect your hearing. There are antibiotics that can also affect your hearing. So if you are on medications or antibiotics or, you know, pain medicines, it is something you should mention to your physician if you are worried or thinking you might be having your hearing affected or ringing sounds, because there may be an alternative medication, and if nothing else, you don't want it to get worse.
And the sooner you act, the sooner you can save the hearing you have. I know you've said that. That bears repeating. Before we go, we're sort of running out of time. It's been so informative, Dr. Yeh. Before we go, though, could you tell us about your work and how we can learn more about your work and about our saving our hearing? You're with the AARP Hearing Resource Center. I know we've touched on that, but can you give us a little more about how we can get a hold of the center and stay ahead of our hearing loss?
Certainly. There are some wonderful articles on the Hearing Resource Center up on the web. You can find it by going to aarp.org/hearing. aarp.org/hearing. You can come find the Hearing Resource Center, and there are all kinds of informative articles, how to tell if you've got hearing loss, how to help others hear you better, what the drugs are that can cause potential for hearing loss, all kinds of useful tips, and how to pick a hearing aid even.
And remember, it's not just for people over 50 years old, and it's not just hearing, not that hearing isn't important, that's what we've been talking about, but it's the positive effect that good hearing has on you physically, emotionally, and mentally. Is that...
Absolutely. When you can hear, you're going to enjoy life. You're going to be able to hear your grandchildren, enjoy your family. It keeps you more physically fit. You're less likely to fall. And hopefully you can delay onset of dementia because that hearing provides such wonderful stimulation. It's so easy to get a hearing test.
And now I know hearing, since you've mentioned that, hearing does affect our balance. Is there a connection between hearing loss and vertigo?
Well, it's a different part of the ear. You know, you have the outside ear that you can see, and then inside is the middle ear, which is where the hearing cells are, the hairs that detect the vibration and stimulate the brain. And then there's the inner ear, which gives you balance. So they're all interconnected.
Yes.
But hearing, you know, again, when you have two ears, it gives you sort of a three-dimensional view of the world. And so if you protect your hearing, you actually can reduce your risk of falls, too.
This is excellent. I am so happy you are on the show. We've been talking to Dr. Charlotte Yeh, the Chief Medical Officer of the AARP Services. She's doing a great deal of work with the AARP's Hearing Resource Center, and she's told us we can get in touch online at aarp.org/hearing to get more information. Keep in mind, hearing loss over 50 is not inevitable, but it does. Hearing loss can happen in people much younger than 50. Did I get it all right, Dr. Yeh?
You absolutely did. That was terrific.
And so are you and all the work you do. And thank you so very much for being on the Reasonable Voice Blog Talk Radio today. All the best to you. Bye now.
Bye now, and thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Stay with us as we'll be right back with a final comment from The Reasonable Voice.
And now, another film rental discovery.
Welcome to the Indie Film Minute. Though there were a lot of shenanigans at play that brought on the Great Recession, few doubt that the unregulated boys-gone-wild attitudes of the financial community were at the core. Margin Call is a star-filled indie production about those shenanigans. Kevin Spacey, Demi Moore, Paul Bettany, Jeremy Irons, and Stanley Tucci all play pieces of a machismo investment banking company riding a wave of money until the tide goes out. They undertake all manner of risks, pushing aside as cowards those who warn of an inevitable crash. Who needs risk management when there are fortunes to be made? But when the music stops, will the guilty ones take their lumps bravely, or will they deny responsibility no matter the damage to the innocent? This clever and frightening little thriller doesn't pretend to be a fully accurate disclosure of events that led to the actual disaster. It is, however, a dramatic tale set in a selfish world of destruction, the very one that took the world to the brink. Could it help us avoid a repeat of our financial near collapse? That is up to us, and too much to ask of a movie. Meanwhile, Margin Call is an entertaining and frightening nail-biter. Indie Film Minute, not in theaters. Discovery through rental.
Hello, I'm Marcello Rolando, The Reasonable Voice, thanking you for joining us in becoming one of the reasonable voices heard around the world. Ferguson, mental health, life and death. Ferguson, Missouri, in all its anger, violence, militarized police brutality, government racial imbalance, and street arms raised unity, is America in miniature. Discriminating political redistricting and prioritizing profit power over people power are co-creators of Divided We Fall. However, the diminishing of our First Amendment rights to peacefully assemble and protest didn't begin with policeman Darren Wilson shooting an unarmed Michael Brown, robbery suspect or not, multiple times. It began with Attorney General John Ashcroft's administrative decree to quarantine dissent, which then standardized designated protest areas as our new First Amendment MO. It began with President George W. Bush's political events banning and arresting those peacefully wearing anti-Bush t-shirts. It began with our Pentagon buying surplus war weaponry from those who profit from our being at war, and then giving the surplus munitions to police departments all over America. It began with DWB, FWA, SWB, and Trayvon Martin's crime, WWB. It began with Andrew Jackson slaughtering Native Americans, our Civil War never ending, 60s assassinations, a uniformed Oakland, California thug pepper spraying sitting peaceful demonstrators. It began with people being left to die in New Orleans after Katrina and Michael Brown's body left in the street for hours. The systemic stigmatizing of those deemed different is as old as the Salem and McCarthy witch hunts, as prescient as the ongoing war on women from no voting rights to institutionalizing women for sexual orgasmic enjoyment with their husbands, to states blocking the ratification of the Equal Rights Amendment. It's as new as veterans dying waiting for health care, and as old as the cataclysmic void in our treatment and understanding of Americans with mental health issues, allowing them still in the 21st century to live without help for depression like 19th century outcasts. We are not what we see on television, whether scripted sitcoms or news media. We are who we love and emulate, what we vote for and fight against, and how we treat one another. Death in all of its forms, whether Lauren Bacall and Charles Keating, or New York chokehold and Ohio Walmart shot for being black, or Anne Sexton, Seymour Hoffman, and Robin Williams. Death in all its forms cuts painfully into our 6 degrees of separation. I didn't know Robin Williams. Indeed, the closest I came to it was his co-stars, literally bumping into Nathan Lane one night after his brilliant performance in The Producers, actors and chatting on the set of Lincoln with Sally Field. But on so many levels, the death of Robin Williams hurts, just like losing my close friends and colleagues, J.D. Waring, Father Gilbert Harkey, and the iconic actress Mercedes McCambridge. I knew the addiction Mercedes was successfully resisting before her son, John Lawrence Fitzfield, killed himself after murdering his wife and two daughters. I know our stigmatizing mental illness and our ignorance of depression, schizophrenia, and Alzheimer's is as deadly as a militarized police state. I know Ferguson is an America from which we can learn life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, or continued supreme distrust of our legal system. Not all battles are civil wars between Christians and non, rich and poor, or even black and white, but increasingly, too many are. Perhaps in an election year, we and our governments and law enforcement at all levels have received a revelation. Ferguson, mental health, and life and death in America. Join us. Become one of the reasonable voices heard round the world. Thank you.
Thank you for continuing to listen to, support, and share the Reasonable Voice Blog Talk Radio with family and friends, especially online. We enjoy hearing from you, and in response, yes, we are now accepting new company and business advertisers and welcoming organizations seeking to be one of our sponsors. So please do continue to email us at thereasonablevoice@gmail.com. However, if you prefer to simply make a donation, your donations are greatly appreciated and can be made through PayPal by clicking on the donate button found at the top of the homepage of The Reasonable Voice. Website.
Thank you for joining us today to make every day as reasonable as possible. We hope you will download and share our downloadable podcasts. I am Marcello Rolando, the Reasonable Voice, hoping you will become one of the reasonable voices heard around the world.